Welcome to Leading You. I'm your host, Julie Hyde, and in this space, we delve into the dynamic intersection of leadership and mindset. Join me as we uncover the essential tools and insights you need to sculpt your own success and lead a life you absolutely love. Hi, this is Julie Hyde, and welcome to another episode of Leading You. Today, I'm going to chat to you about something that is incredibly important, particularly with the state of the workplace at the moment. And that is about digging deep and using your voice. And how I did that during probably one of my darkest moments. I find it really interesting at the moment, and as evidence in the State of the Workplace Burnout 2024 report, the rate of women experiencing burnout has grown to 42%. Interestingly, men has reduced slightly, but it's still at 30%. So it's 42% of women in the workplace, nearly half, are experiencing burnout, and slightly less for men. It just begs the question as to why. Why is this happening? Why are people allowing themselves to get to the point where they are ignoring the signs in their body, they're ignoring the tiredness, they're ignoring the adrenal fatigue, and getting to that stage where they can't get out of bed? Like, burnout is bad. Burnout is scary. It's not a point that you want to get to. And there's so many people who are sharing their stories about how they got to that burnout stage and how not to get there, but no one's listening. People don't seem to be listening to this. The level of overwhelm and busyness is increasing in business as well. And that's a problem on two levels. Often people feel that they're too busy and don't have the energy to speak up. And you know my thoughts on busyness, or the busy word. And secondly, the leaders or the powers that be are also too busy to notice. So doing a good job is not good enough anymore. You have to use your voice. You have to speak up. You have to position yourself in a way that others can see the opportunity in you if you're wanting to step up and take that next step in your career, or to be given that opportunity to lead a project, or whatever that looks like for you. Effectively, you need to lead yourself through and towards the opportunity. If something's not working for you, i.e. if you are being made to work incredibly long hours and unreasonably, why aren't you speaking up and using your voice about that? If you are feeling like you just need a break, why aren't you speaking up and talking to someone about that? If someone is harassing or bullying you in the workplace, need to use your voice and speak up about that. It's incredibly important, and it's also incredibly important for those around you. But if you're not feeling right, you need to be using your voice. And I do preface this in that you need to be using your voice in a way that is authentic to you and in a way that you are proud of. So I'm not talking about being aggressive or blaming or attacking anyone. A lot of the times when I was a leader, if I hadn't have raised some of the issues that I was observing at the time, I'm not sure that the people who I spoke to would have actually spoken up about that. And it makes me question two things. Did I not have the level of trust with them? Or is it something that they're just not used to? And it could be a combination of those two things for you, and it's individual for everyone, and it's not just limited to those two things. What's up? Why don't you feel like you can? Is it societal? Is it cultural? Is it a confidence issue? There'll be something deep down for you that that is preventing you from using your voice. Very early on in my cancer journey, I had been only in that for 2 months. And during that time, I had seen 7 oncologists. Now, as a real novice in the medical industry, I had no experience in terms of the doctors and what's the norm and all that sort of thing. But I knew that having 7 oncologists who had to learn my history was not right. And I was experiencing some bad side effects, and I had some PET scans which pick up cancer activity because I just had my surgery 2 months before that. So they wanted to check and see that the cancer wasn't still there and it hadn't spread. So we went in to see an oncologist, my husband and I. This is in December, late December, sort of like right before Christmas. And he said to me that my cancer had come back and it had spread. I wasn't only in the pelvic area where the cancer had spread to, it was on my bones, it was on my lungs as well. And like, that was devastating for my husband and I. And this message was delivered to me by someone I did not know in a way that was quite between the eyes. It was a massive punch between the eyes. And we walked out of there feeling really defeated. I walked out of there thinking I was going to die. So that is the power of words. But that is also me not questioning what was going on. Like, why didn't I speak up earlier when I got to my 5th oncologist and said, what is going on here? It was only when I reached out to my surgeon, who I had a really good relationship with, and told him what had happened. And he explained to me that the message probably should not have been delivered to me in such a definitive way, that there is always discrepancies with scans, and the next lot of scans would tell a much better story. The next lot of scans were clear. What would you do if you were confronted with a diagnosis that threatened your life? Would you continue to live as you are, or would you make some big changes? That's what happened to me on the 6th of October in 2021. My life changed within a second, forever. This moment was a catalyst for me to look deep within and assess if I was living a life I loved. I wasn't. I was tolerating too much of it. And now I've made big changes, and I want to empower you with the choice to do the same. My second book, You Always Have a Choice, is now available, and I share 9 powerful strategies to let go of overwhelm and the relentless juggle and implement changes so you can lead a life you love. Head to youalwayshaveachoice.com.au to grab your copy. So my surgeon gave me hope. Very, very different language used. But I only got that message because I used my voice. And after I had spoken with him, I also contacted the hospital and said that seeing this amount of oncologists who are so important for you when you're going through a cancer journey, like they are the main person on your medical team. And you want to build a really great relationship with them. You want them to know you. So I reached out to the hospital and I said, this is not good enough. I want one oncologist to be dedicated to me. And since that time, I've had one oncologist who is amazing. She's fabulous. And it just reduced so much stress and overwhelm that I was experiencing. And it wasn't anyone's fault. And maybe people are happy with that, but I wasn't. I needed some certainty in a very uncertain situation. So I used my voice, and that was not easy because I was fearful that I was going to upset people, that I wouldn't look good, maybe I wouldn't get the right amount of care, people would be pissed off with me. So all of that went through my head, and I was just like, you've got a choice here and you're going to lead yourself through it. So that's an example of using your voice. And I share this with lots and lots of my clients who lead people who are a bit fearful about going into a hard conversation. A lot of people feel like it's going to be a confrontation right up front. And I sort of made this conversation that I was going to have into a confrontation right up front, but it actually wasn't. And in a lot of situations for leaders, it doesn't have to be a confrontation. There doesn't have to be conflict. If you've really thought about the message that you're wanting to share and planned it and doing it at a time where you do not feel emotional about it, so that you have disconnected as much as you possibly can from the emotion, then that is all you can really do. That's all you can control. As long as you're going into the conversation with the right intent, that's all you can control. Because you can only control you. You can only control your words. You can only control your behaviors. You can't control other people. And that's what you need to be confident in when you're going to be using your voice. Dr. Brené Brown in Daring Greatly says that embracing vulnerability and using your voice are critical aspects of finding courage and living wholeheartedly. Using your voice authentically and with empathy helps to build trust. Just doing a good job isn't good enough anymore. You need to position yourself really effectively, and that means using your voice. So there's three tips that I'd love to share with you in terms of how you can effectively do this. Number one is to know what you stand for and, importantly, what you don't stand for. When you know these things, you can anchor yourself to that. It basically gives you the courage to have the conversations that you need to use your voice in situations where you feel fearful or, you know, scared or worried about what's going to happen. This is like giving you a really great foundation in order to leap from to have these conversations. The second thing is to connect to your values. Again, this is something that you can check in with and ask yourself, in my case, okay, if you are respecting yourself and respecting others, if you are being courageous, if you are being empowered, which are my top three values, then what would you do? Are you living and leading in alignment with your values? So knowing your values, being really, really clear on them and really connecting to those can be your fuel in having conversations where you feel a little bit out of your depth, or you've been holding back on for whatever reason that might be. And the third one is to take the steps to do it. So that might be preparing for the conversation. It might be practicing in the mirror. It might be practicing with a friend. It might be getting feedback from a coach or a mentor in terms of how to do it. But it's taking the steps to do that. And sometimes I find it really helpful. It's called future pacing yourself. So it's thinking about yourself in the future after you've had that conversation. How are you going to feel once you've had that conversation? Are you going to feel proud? Are you going to feel relieved knowing that you can only control you? You can't control others. That can be a really powerful thing to move you towards having that conversation, even when you don't feel like you want to. Because the true test of a leader is to do things even when you don't feel like it. So I really hope that this episode has helped you and given you some inspiration in terms of using your voice. I share lots of techniques in my book to do that and lots of stories. Many of my clients have had to do this at times where they just really haven't wanted to, but they've put on their courage cloak and just have done it anyway, and have, I would say 95% of the time, achieved really great results, really pleasing, relieving results immediately, that the conversation was really well received. because they had put the groundwork in. And the more you do it, the better you get. So practice is progress. That's another really great way to think about it. And just start doing it, whether you're wanting, needing to do it in the home, in the workplace, out in society, whatever that needs to be. So I hope that this quick little episode has helped you and empowering you to use your voice, which is so, so important. And if you are feeling like you are burnt out, going back to what I was talking about at the start of this episode, if you're feeling really tired, if you're feeling really fatigued, something needs to change. You need to speak up about it. Your health is your wealth, and getting sick, getting burnt out, a job is not worth your health. So thank you for listening. As always, I'd love you to leave a review and a rating. And if there's anything that has really resonated for you in this episode, I would so love to hear from you. So thanks again for listening. I'll see you very soon.